This is Norm Hawley for WFHB, and today I'm interviewing Dr. Susan Loeb. She's a research ecologist for the Forest Service at the Southern Research Station at Clemson University, and she's an expert on bats in the United States. Could you fill us in on how the bat populations are doing of the various species?
Well, unfortunately, the bat populations in the eastern United States have continued to decline due to white nose syndrome, and at least certain populations, certain species, particularly the Indiana bat, the northern long-eared bat, the little brown bat, and the tricolored bat. White nose syndrome is spreading. It's spreading south, and it is spreading east. It is now found in as far west as Nebraska, and actually there are some isolated cases in Washington State.
So what states are not affected at this point?
Well, at this point, I believe there are 33 states that are affected, and so most of the western states are not affected. So from about Nebraska west, with the exception of Washington State. The fungus has been found in Texas, although the disease has not been found in Texas.
How about New Mexico? Because of the large bat population, at least, that used to be there, how is that population holding up?
If you're referring to the Brazilian free-tailed bat population in New Mexico, that is doing fine. At this point, we have not detected the fungus for white nose syndrome on the free-tailed bat.
Can you give us an estimate of, say, the total population of Indiana bat in the United States and compare it with some, you know, previous figure?
The latest estimate for the Indiana bat, that was in 2015, was 523,000 Indiana bats. The highest number that was counted recently was in 2007, and that was about 635,000 bats. So it's been a decline range-wide of about 10%. In Indiana, it's declined about 22%.
Is there any migration, for example, of the Indiana bat simply because the temperatures are too warm for roosting?
No, we have not seen that, and it's not because the temperatures are too warm for roosting. The numbers are declining due to white nose syndrome.
Now, is there any evidence of any of the species developing an immunity to the white nose syndrome?
Well, up in the Northeast, where white nose syndrome first hit, there are still bats that are surviving. And what people are observing is that they are hibernating in colder areas of the caves than they used to. And so the fungus grows the best between about 13 and 15 degrees centigrade. And so at colder temperatures, it will still grow, but as it gets colder and colder, the fungus grows more slowly. So bats that can hibernate at colder temperatures and in drier areas seem to do better. And that's what we're seeing, is that's where the survivors are going, is these colder, slightly drier areas.
Now, is there any hope that population can, you know, breed itself through this crisis, or are we still stuck?
There is definitely hope, and so we are thinking about ways that we can help these bats when they come out of hibernation, providing them with, say, warm roosts during the summer so that they don't have to spend as much energy and their fat reserves on maintaining body temperature. So that may be one way, just provide them with really good habitat, good roost, lots of food out there. It's going to take a long time because these species only have one young per year. And again, we don't know if this is a genetic response that we are seeing or just a behavioral response. We're not exactly sure what the trajectory of this population is going, of these populations are. If they do survive, it will take a long time for them to recover.
Do you have an estimate on the economic value of the bats in terms of the insects and things that they collect in the summer?
That's a really difficult number to come by. There was an estimate that came out several years ago. It was based on a very good focus study in Texas, and then they extrapolated that across the United States. But they estimated that anywhere from about, an average of about $23 billion worth of pest control services per year provided by bats nationwide.
Any other news about the bats you'd like our listeners to know about?
Well, just that they can help bats. I know there are a lot of avid cavers in Indiana, and if they do go into caves, that when they come out, that they do decontamination protocols that are suggested by the Fish and Wildlife Service, and that will prevent us from spreading the disease further.
A lot of the caves in Indiana are actually now closed just to protect the species. So when I was at Purdue 50 years ago or so, we caved all over the place. But most of those caves that I was in are no longer available. But they were great caves.
Right, right. And so a number of caves do have gates on them, and that is to that. But some of the other caves are open. And again, the important thing is that we do not transfer this.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the interview very much. I've been interviewing Dr. Susan Loeb, research ecologist for the Forest Service, on the status of bats generally in the U.S. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.